Good morning. I'm glad you're here. Usually Gustavo comes up here, but he's in a class. And then starting on March 1st as well, he'll be doing a class. Our Spanish life group will be meeting at this hour, the next hour on March 1st in the back. And so if you were going to use some other of our people who speak Spanish as well, but this morning, just really wanted to plug that for those of you who speak Spanish, or if you know of somebody who is not in a church, because they don't have Spanish regardless, you could come. They could come to the first service and worship with us, whatever, musically, but as well as go to the life group, with the Spanish life group in the second hour. It would be a great opportunity to do so. There's a lot going on. We have Kent Hinton is actually in Israel someplace around the world today. I mean, he's in Israel someplace, I think. We hope. And working, and just we're getting some updates, just doing wonderful, and it's been a great trip for him so far. He's going to be teaching a class on how to study the Word. That's so important as well. You can sign up for that in the lobby as well. There's also information on the Financial Peace University. Many have asked about that. It's a great way. It's not just getting out of debt. It's setting a life plan so that you control your money. Your money doesn't control you. And so there's information about that as well. It's a 9-week course, and that will begin March 1st at the Lane Home. And so there's information out there for that. We've been looking at the book of James, and as we come to wrap up the book of James today, we remember that James, as he writes this book, he was lovingly, and I believe lovingly, correcting and encouraging. It was to believers, it was a general epistle, so it went to all believers. And he wasn't trying to be harsh, but he was really trying to say, listen, this is where he was driving the nail home, that if you claim to know Christ, not coming to know Christ through works, but once you know Christ, there should be the fruit of your life that will show forth the works versus the deeds in our life. And that balance of where we keep that balance of knowing full well that our salvation is by Him through grace and faith alone. It's not of us. There's nothing we can do. But as well as once that happens in our lives, there should be the outflow of our life. The fruit of our life should show forth the Lord Jesus. We talk about have thine own way. We talk about the process that is taken. There is a process in our life that once we come to know Christ, and today especially we talk about that process. It started off as a servant, that servant being that, and within that servant he came, he could have done in so many ways, but he started off, I'm a servant of the Lord. And that's where we start to humble ourselves, to say, God, I just want to be your servant. And in part of that, he then immediately jumps into the fact that there will be suffering, to expect it, that it can bring glory to God, there will be suffering. He then looks at, know who you are in Christ. I think this is, if there's one issue that I think plagues the church today, this is just my opinion. I know there's a lot of issues out there. But for individual believers in their walk with God, I think this is the one element that people just need to grasp of who you are in Christ. What He has done in you. That you are not worthy of your own. Understand that. But He has made you worthy. That He has redeemed us and justified us. And the issue of when He adopts you in Christ, what does that mean? And James looked at that, who we are in Christ, when you look at the Word, what He's done for us. We talked about the fact that knowing that God is in control of our life, not us. We can say we're going to do all these things, but we just don't know, because only He knows. He is in control. We need to approach life with that. Man, I'd like to do this, but if it glorifies God and if that's going to happen, great. But it may not happen. We looked at the fact of not being polluted by the world's philosophy and the world's wisdom, and to seek His wisdom, to walk by faith, consider God. And as we wrap up this morning, the book of James, we come to James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. It says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." There's so much in these little verses, this small passage. And I felt overwhelmed this morning early. Have you ever had a message, or maybe you just feel like you've been told to do something, or you want to convey to somebody a truth or convey how much you care, but you just feel like, man, it's easy to say and hard to do? And I felt this morning as I got up early again and was looking over the passage, looking over this message, There's some things that, man, there's just, it's a great message, and it's a good message, and James is writing that, but I think I feel in some sense, and I don't want to be presumptuous here, I think I feel the same way James may have felt, is that there's such a great message here, it's hard to do. To encourage you to walk through this, to encourage all of us to be patient within this and to be patient, because what he's talking about is patience. He's talking about patience here. And in fact, we are ending where we began, because if you went back to James chapter 1, verse 3, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance and patience. It was right at the very beginning. He talked about the fact that we must be have patience and we must persevere in the face of suffering. These people were suffering. They were suffering for the cause of Christ. And so he's talking about where we begin, where we end the book is where he really goes back to the book, to persevere and to endure. I wanted to add in there, sometimes it's easy to persevere and to endure, but he's talking about when you want to run, when you want to escape, when you want to quit, when you want to just hide. James is saying, be patient, persevere, endure. And yes, even in suffering. Now he is talking about the issue here being suffering for Christ. That we're to be patient, persevere, endure in suffering for Christ. In fact, as we looked at the first chapter before, he says we're to rejoice in it. That we're to rejoice. Now we looked at the three different kinds of suffering. You know, the suffering because we live in a fallen world where illness and disease and all that takes place. We suffer at times because of the consequences of our own choices, the things that we've done, and we suffer for that. But he is talking about here the suffering for Christ's sake. For bearing the name of Christ. I don't know if I can communicate this correctly, and some of you won't care anywhere, but I am struck this week as I studied that if we are to rejoice in suffering for Christ, we are to rejoice in it. We're to stand back and have joy in being able to suffer for Christ. And yet most of us run from it and we complain about it. As soon as we suffer in any way, shape, or form, it's, oh, poor me. Oh, man, it's just life is so hard. God doesn't understand. Why is God doing this to me? And yet, especially when we suffer for Christ's sake, now, and we're talking about suffering for Christ's sake, our political correctness in our society has taken away the rejoicing and the opportunities that we look for to suffer for Christ's sake. And I guess I've just been struck more and more, where do you look for opportunities to stand for Christ? That yes, they may invoke suffering, not for the sake of being argumentative, not for the sake of having, you know, being, look at me, but the issues of, instead of cowering away from any situation where you can name the name of Christ and stand for Christ, instead, often what we do is we don't want to take any suffering, I don't want anybody to think anything bad, and so what do? We run from it. And James is saying, listen, rejoice in it and be patient, endure through it. Don't back up. Don't back up and say, oh, well, I'm sorry, I don't want to offend you. No, listen, the name of Christ is offensive to those who don't believe. He tells us that. The preaching of the cross is offensive to those who don't believe. Does that mean we stop preaching it? The answer should be no. And you know, in our own personal political correctness issues of our society and us, boy, we don't want to, my job depends upon it, And many times, listen to me, I know this is going to sound harsh, but many times we prostitute ourselves. We prostitute our walk with God for the sake of appeasing somebody and pleasing somebody. And James, in his loving way, is saying, listen, be patient, endure, persevere. What if it did cost you your job to stand for the cause of Christ? What if it did cost you your life, as around the world many are facing that, to stand for the cause of Christ? Can we rejoice in that instead of complaining about it? He says to be patient and persevere to endure within that. And I'm telling you what, it's amazing to me, and I know that we're all suspect to that. It's amazing at times that we come across the issue of one bit of suffering and, oh man, look what's happened. Isn't it terrible? Instead of saying, I sometimes feel like when we suffer for Christ's sake in the right way, not arrogantly, not hypocritically, not trying to fight, not trying to be argumentative, but when bearing the name of Christ and standing for the principles that God gives us, when we suffer for that reason, instead of backing away, it should be like sick them to a bulldog. I mean, I really think that. I said, no, I think it should strengthen us. Who for the glory of the cross endured the shame of it. Looking beyond that, he endured that. And I think sometimes we get so afraid to stand and to just speak the name of Jesus. To stand and share, this is what God has done. This is what God can do. Do you know Jesus? Do we share it? No, we stop. Because we're afraid of a person's response. Now again, we balance that with love. Everything must be done in love. But love never fails. No matter what the message is. If it's done in love. He gives us three examples. The first example he gives us is the farmer. He talks about the farmer as we look at the farmer. You know, if you are lacking in patience, I don't suggest that you take up the vocation of farming. Because farming is built upon patience. I have an uncle who, when I was younger, he still is farming in Oklahoma. Actually, he's retired now, but he farmed. That man had the patience. You know, you've heard the saying, the patience of Job type thing, you know. He had the patience, and he just was slow, and he'd look at the soil, and I'm thinking, I'm type A. I'm saying, plant it, grow, harvest, let's go. You know, get out of here. He would just wait, you know. Even in his tilling the ground, I'd ride the back of that tractor with him, and, you know, he'd just make sure every furrow, patience. He uses the analogy of a farmer here. They must be patient. You've got to be patient with the soil. Especially as you read here about the rains. They had two rainy seasons and they had to time it just right between planting and tilling and all of the soil conditions. And then the late rains, they had to work all of those things together. So he had carefully be patient within that. They must be patient with the seed. Let it germinate. Let it go. All these things. But why does the farmer do that? Why is the farmer so patient? Because he realized at the end it says that there's a valuable commodity that comes out of it. There's a valuable crop that's going to be harvested. And he realizes it within that. So he says, listen, this is the word precious. The fruit is valuable. The fruit is precious. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield his valuable crop. That valuable crop, that precious crop, he brings it to us. It's costly. I think sometimes we need to understand that what he's talking about here, this picturing the Christian as a spiritual farmer, and at times we need to wait for a spiritual harvest. We need to endure through it. We need to be patient through it. Patient in our Christian life. Patient that one day we are going to see Jesus. Patient, but to endure and to have patience through that. Don't quit. Don't stop. Grow. The element of growth in the Christian life is time. That is one of the elements. Oh, we see people who come to know Christ and man, they shoot up like a boom. They're like, all of a sudden they're gone. First heartache, first thing that happens and they're just gone. It takes time as we grow. He says to have this process in verse chapter 1, it says, let patience have its perfect work. I don't know that I like that. I can say it's easy to say. I'm not sure we like that outcome of patience. Be patient, be patient. Be patient. Especially as we suffer for Christ. To be patient. To let patience have its perfect work in our life, that we will be in the process of becoming like Jesus. And one day to see him. He then gives us the illustration of the prophets. Now the prophets, these early believers would have been very familiar with the prophets and the example of the Old Testament. And yet they read how these faithful servants suffered, doing God's will. As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have suffered and persevered. The prophets would speak even though there was great persecution. They would continue to speak. They were proclaiming their message in the name of the Lord. And there's sometimes that with our faithfulness to God, it will produce pain and suffering. And instead of running away from it, we need to say, okay, God, I realize this is the season of my life that I may be in right now. The season of my life, the season of the rain and the season of the soil. I may be in the season of suffering, but I'm going to speak in the name and proclaim. And the prophets encouraged them, and that's what he was saying. Reminding, we look back at those who suffer for Christ, and we exalt them, don't we? We look back at those who have stood for Christ for their life, who finished well, who ran the race. We look back at such that great cloud of witnesses, and we exalt them. Why can't we take that into our own life now and say, I want to be that when they look back years from now, I want to be that person who people see as stood for Christ. They give us the prophet. And then he gives us Job. I love the fact some who are new to the church call it Job. That makes sense. Job was a person. He says, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen about what the Lord finally brought. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job, example of a man who patiently endured suffering and was blessed by God. He trusted in God, and Job did not understand why. He did not understand why he was suffering, but he knew he was. But he still trusted in Christ. He still trusted in Jehovah God. He didn't see it all. He didn't know it all, but he trusted. And yet, as we come to the end of that, he says, we've seen what the Lord has done. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You need to understand, some of you live with such a mindset that if you get any kind of suffering for Christ's sake, if you get any kind of, you know, you get impatient and you blame God. And he goes on to say you can blame others, you get testy with others. But he said, listen, you're approaching life from a mindset that God is not full of mercy and compassion. And he throws that in there, that God is full of mercy and compassion. James has taught us that mercy triumphs over judgment. Some of you have a view of God that he just can't wait to make your life miserable. He just can't wait. Oh, I'm not worthy to have anything good, so I guess I need to have patience and I'm going to have a suffering. But, you know, God doesn't want me to live a life that have any kind of, you know. We have this view of God, and he's saying, wait a minute, do you understand that God is merciful and compassionate? He's full of mercy. And within that, he wants us to understand that one day is going to end. And even though within this process, we have a hope. Three times in this passage, he mentions our hope. And our hope is the Lord's return. The Lord's return is our hope. His coming. The word there, there's a beautiful word about to be in his presence, to be in the actual presence of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we have his spirit within us, but to be in his presence, those who have died and gone to be with the Lord in his presence, and he's going to come back, the return of the Lord in his presence. I realize, man, in suffering, whether it be because of the sinful world or because of dumb mistakes or because of suffering for righteousness, I'll tell you, and I think we've all been there at times, that we say, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Have we not been there? If we look at things in our life and say, God, I just don't know if I can bear this. Can you just come quickly? We look around us, oh, Lord, just come. And we have that hope. And yet we are to look with this eager anticipation, this eager await. But in the process of that, it doesn't mean as we eagerly await the presence of the Lord. Do you eagerly await that? I mean, obviously, as you study for things, things come in your mind and you find yourself that week, especially as you finalize. But even this morning, as I was driving and seeing the clouds, yesterday as I was walking early and seeing the clouds and all that, I'm saying, you know what? I'm supposed to be looking up and eagerly anticipating his return. Eagerly anticipating. And yet within that, I was walking, getting my walk in. I looked up and I'm thinking, okay, I'm supposed to eagerly return. Guess what? I didn't just stop walking and wait. I kept walking. You say, well, no duh. But James is writing to that because just as the analogy, he's telling us, as we eagerly await, like the farmer, keep working. Yes, we are going to have patience until the Lord returns. For those, oh, Jesus has come, I'm going to sit down in my easy chair and I'm going to wait. And like the farmer who sees the seasons of life, he says, you keep working. As you eagerly await, keep working. Keep on working, keep on planting. And just like the prophets did, as you eagerly await, like the prophets, keep sharing. Keep sharing. Keep talking of the goodness of God. Keep calling people to come to know Christ. Keep sharing. Like the farmer, we keep walking. Like Pastor Bill on a Saturday morning walking, keep walking. Even though I eagerly await, keep walking. Keep working. Like the prophet, keep speaking. And like Job, keep trusting. Keep trusting, even though you may not see why. You may not know all, but we know that the Lord is rich in mercy and compassion, and we keep trusting in him. We keep trusting that though we don't see everything and know everything, he does. He knows the beginning from the end, so we trust in that. And this morning he talks about building patience, that process that needs to take place in our life. That's not an easy process, is it? But especially as it comes to suffering for Christ's sake. But the challenge is to suffer for Christ's sake. to be engaged with God, to be engaged with Christ. Are you willing to sacrifice to be engaged? If you are, we have called you to be engaged. You're going to hear it throughout 2015, to be engaged, to engage, and that first, it will involve sacrifice. Are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice to be engaged? Oh, I don't know. In every person's life, it may be different what I have to sacrifice. Your time. Maybe the start of the Daytona 500 today. I'm going to sacrifice that to be with God's people. Maybe it means I'm going to sacrifice the night of the week to be in life group. Maybe it means I'm going to sacrifice not sleeping in quite so long so I can be in church. Maybe I'm going to sacrifice serving in some way. Maybe whatever it may be. Are you willing to sacrifice to get engaged and to be engaged? And are you willing to let patience have its perfect work? To be engaged, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing? As we suffer for Christ's sake, are you willing? Not to complain about it, not to say, poor me, not woe is me, but to say, praise God for Christ's sake, because I'm suffering, because I, speaking for Christ, I'm wanting to display the wonder of God. I want to be the visible representation of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. And guess what? As I become the visible representation of Christ to this world, there will be those who do not like me. Oh, no, I'm not loved by everybody. Are you willing? Just like the prophets who were despised by some, but they kept speaking. Are you willing to engage by serving? Are you willing? Are you willing to keep planting that seed, keep speaking those words? Are you willing to keep trusting in God? Are you willing to serve? I don't know what it takes to shake us out of our lethargy. I don't know what it takes us as believers to shake us out of our lethargy at times, to say, God, I want to live vibrantly with you, to see your wonder at work in my display. It's not about retirement. It's not about kids. It's not about grandkids. It's not about family. It is about, God, how can I serve you? How can I be engaged with you to make an impact for this world? Yes, my heart is that there's no one who just comes into this church and sits, but that we come and we bind together as a family and we serve the Lord and serve each other. And we find some place that may be, whether it be in the sound booth, whether it be in Stars or the nursery or the band or leading worship or just being on the stage worshiping Jesus, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, but we come with an attitude of, God, I'm willing to engage, to sacrifice, to suffer, and to serve. I'm willing to do so. And that's what James is talking about. James wasn't saying, oh, great, have a real good understanding of the word. Be theologically, understand it all. No, he's saying, listen, it's got to hit the road. It's got to be seen in the world. And that's what we need today. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this morning, I pray you would help us to understand that James was lovingly entreating us and encouraging us, lovingly, to engage in our culture and our society. God, I pray that today you would help us be willing, like the farmer, to work, like the prophets to speak, and like Job to trust in you. May we have that today. God, may we go from this place different than we walked in. May we understand what you've called us to be and to do. Thank you for this great church body. May we serve each other as we serve you. May we go out of here being the representation of you to this world. And yes, suffering may come from that, and may we rejoice in that. May we share in that with others. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for being here this morning. We say it every week, and we mean it from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you so much for the way that you sacrificially serve in our ministries, the way you sacrificially give. Our giving boxes are in the back and up here. Just the way that you help to keep the ministries going here. God is using you in a mighty way. And if you're not serving, if you're not giving, that you would pray about that. And if something Pastor Bill has said or sparked in you, and you need to pray with someone, we have Stan and Christina right over here that would love to pray for you, or you can write it down on a card, stick it in the box, and our staff will be praying for you this week. Go out this week, engage with God, engage with each other. Have a wonderful week. See you guys.